Welcome in. Happy Monday here on 104.5 The Zone, live from day five of Titans training camp. Thanks to our friends at Two Rivers Ford for making this possible. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend and you're ready to talk about some Titans football over the course of the next 3 hours. It's exciting out here. There's breaking news, as you heard in Lucas's update. Good morning, Lucas, by the way.
Good morning. Hello.
How are we?
Doing great. Feeling energized.
Are you? Just one little morsel of news, and that's enough to get you through the day, right?
Absolutely. Kind of jump-started the week for us.
Well, you love to see it. Caleb Farley, among other players, cleared to practice today. I heard Jason Martin have a little bit of an issue with one of the players who was activated off of the physically unable to perform list.
Jeremy McNichol.
Oh, tough scene. Tough scene. No, Jeremy McNichols, Jason. I figured we'd get to that in the first three minutes.
So that
I
in the name of Jesus.
No, he doesn't, because he's out here on the practice field today. Caleb Farley cleared off the non-football injury list. We have just seen him go through individual drills out here live at St. Thomas Sports Park. I tweeted out his first rep. Cameras on him. But yeah, you know, the ball goes by him. It's okay. He's got some rust to work off. It's been a little while since he's been at this with the rest of the group, but he's currently getting some tutelage from the veterans out on the field. So that is something you love to see. Just his presence out here has to make things a lot lighter on you if you're a Titans fan. You don't have to wait around for much this year. You're getting all of the new toys that you have available to you out here as soon as humanly possible. Of course, we all still await Bud Dupree to be cleared off the physically unable to perform list as well. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the show. 615-737-1045. The question that we're going to ask you all throughout the course of the day is, where do you need to see them take strides now that we are into week two? They've had 4 days, basically, to work off the rust. This will be day five out here on the practice fields. Where do you need to see them take a step? Because I've got some observations that we'll get to later in the show. The polls are available for you to vote on at Buck Rising on Twitter, if you so choose. We will have Jayon Brown out here live at training camp at 11:15, so make sure you're sticking around for that. I think I'm going to coax or bully my buddy Mike Giardi from the NFL Network to come over at some point. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know. He looks a little unprofessional today. The red shorts, not a great look. But you can watch him on NFL Network all day long, live from Titans training camp. We'll bother Giardi later on in the show. And also, I want to talk about Carson Wentz, because what the hell? this is already falling apart in Indianapolis. It is a complete and total disaster. The Colts are notorious about injuries with their quarterbacks and not operating with, shall we say, full transparency. But let's start with the Titans news. That Caleb Farley is officially cleared and able to participate. Now, we won't be able to tell you until after practice concludes how much the Titans' first-round pick was able to do today. But I know that he was getting some good reps in during individual and, of course, went through stretch for the first time with his new team. It's got to get you encouraged about the state of the secondary, right? Because we had people tweeting us, and we had a couple callers last week saying that, well, what about trading for Stephon Gilmore if A.J. Brown's just out here roasting all of our defensive backs? What about somebody like Xavien Howard, Will Bowling out here doing his due diligence to make sure I stay on track. Xavien Howard requesting a trade from the Miami Dolphins. I saw people like our friend Titans Film Room, Justin Graver at Broadway Sports, being like, you know what, if the Titans are all in, they should do it. They should do it this year. I think give it a week. Give it a week with the first round pick out on the field. Now, you do, of course, run the risk that somebody would acquire a player that you might be otherwise interested in and might be able to put you over the top. But you have no idea what you have in this particular collection of defensive backs working together just yet. That's something that's going to need to play out over the course of the next couple of weeks. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved over the course of today's show. I mean, honestly, though, I was watching the start of practice and watching Caleb Farley with Coach Dave McGinnis, because you know Mac's out here. He's watching it like a head football coach does. He watches it from behind the defense. He's just going over with me what makes Caleb Farley so special. The length and the fluidity of motion at that size for this dude is something that pops on the field. By the way, when did he change his number to three? Because I knew that had happened, but I didn't know at what point that he changed his number to three. Because he did not start out as number three, but I guess the single-digit bug caught him after Julio went for two.
What did they say he was going to be initially?
It was like 20.
I think it was 23, right?
It was
Blaine Bishop's number.
20, was it? Was it Blaine Bishop's number? Was Blaine pissed about that?
No. I think quite the contrary.
Oh, an honor. An honor to wear the Hitman's jersey.
But he's back to his college number.
Yeah, he's got the single digit on. It's just him and Julio Jones for the players that are eligible for new single digit numbers who chose to wear them with Tennessee this year, it looks like. But just you can already see the twitch. You can already see the athletic traits that make this dude special. And what pops more than anything is that he's able to move the way that he does at that size. That is something that is that's what makes him uncommon. That's what makes him, and why they you know, for all intents and purposes, gambled a bit on him in the first round by going first best player available, even as the slide down to 22 with the multiple back procedures that he ended up having during the pre-draft process. We heard from John Robinson right after they drafted him, and they said they felt comfortable in the medical team's evaluation with him. And here he is, second week, first day of the second week of training camp out on the practice field. We'll see how much further away Bud Dupree is over the course of the next couple days. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the show. Also on Zone TV, if you so choose. Twitter, Facebook Live, Periscope, and Twitch. You can hang out at training camp with us and join us in person with all of our guests that will join us throughout the course of this week. Because we'll be, I mean, I think I'm out here every day but Thursday, Lucas. You're going to start to miss me back there? I don't know how, is this like a separation in a relationship? Like, I feel like we've gotten some necessary distance at this point. Maybe I was crowding you even though, you know, through 6 feet of plexiglass. I think this is going to bring us closer. We just needed the opportunity to miss each other a little bit.
Yeah, you need some space. This is like when a relationship goes long distance for a small period, and then we'll see how it is when you come back.
you're saying I'm the one who needed space?
Space is good for everybody.
Space is good for everybody. 615-737-1045. We're getting people tweeting us and messaging us, like Mr. Caples in the chat on YouTube, talking about Saturday night out with the Zone crew. We're going to get to this at some point during the course of today, but we had a listener's wife DM all of us at 2:30 in the morning requesting the presence of her husband and if we knew where he was, because she had not heard from him for a considerable amount of time. Now, I was stuck at the Garth Brooks concert, which we'll talk about later in the show, the concert that was no concert at all. But that was jarring for me to wake up, you know, not that much later, about 2 hours later at 4:30 when I ended up getting up on Sunday. But I don't know what the hell you guys did on Saturday night, but apparently you lost a listener. Well, hopefully not for good.
Well, first of all, he was safe. She quickly followed up, because I too was asleep when that message was sent, and she followed up saying, never mind, he just messaged me, it's all good. Second of all, why the hell are you waking up at 4:30 on Sunday morning?
Because that's what time I get up.
Like, you're allowed to sleep in later than that when you don't have work and things to do.
Do you understand that I don't have... I always have work and I always have things to do.
I get that. But come on, man. 4:30 on a Sunday, that's just, unless you're getting up to watch like Formula One or something. I don't see that.
No, I did. Well,
maybe some Olympics.
It's nice to have Formula One on. Oh, we got to talk about the Olympics too. The U.S. men's well, I guess that's the Gold Cup. That's different. But the U.S. men's national team. I watched a lot of Olympics. I watched a lot of handball yesterday. I watched a lot of racquetball. It got intense between the Chinese racquetball player and the Indonesian player. It was a death match. It got serious. I had it on all day yesterday. It's as much fun as I've had watching the Olympics so far. Racquetball, the king sport of the Olympics so far. 615-737-1045. Coming up next, though, as we get Titans training camp underway here, there are problems elsewhere in training camps within the AFC South. Now, you know the issues with the Houston Texans. These are not the particular ones that we're bringing up at this time, although those do loom. Carson Wentz left practice earlier last week with a foot injury, and it sounds like he could miss substantial time. We'll get into what that could mean for the Titans division rival up there in Indianapolis. Carson Wentz currently dealing, you know, not pursuing surgery. In fact, I think on the other side we'll hear the latest from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, because he had an update on this on Good Morning Football today. But it sounds like they are not opting for surgery yet. It sounds like it could go that direction. And a few nuggets for you on the other side about the Colts and how they historically handle quarterback injuries. Spoiler alert, it's not with a ton of honesty. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Beautiful day out here at St. Thomas Sports Park, live from Titans training camp. Team working through drills on the field in front of us today. We're trying, now that they've formed a wall of humanity, so we can't see the plays. Logan, well, I guess I can't report on anything until the end of practice, so I better shut up. Maybe it's best that they've had them on the field furthest away from me, because I'm going to word vomit into the microphone and get us all fired, Lucas.
Yeah, like what happens? Does somebody come up behind you with like a big black bag over your head and then drag you away?
Yes, and Kim Smith of Titans PR comes and just yes. comes and just brings the brings. I almost made a joke I shouldn't there, so I'm gonna just steer away from that and shut the hell up about what I'm seeing in front of me until after 11:15, when Titans practice concludes, and then we will be joined by Jayon Brown, and we will talk to Jayon about what happened at practice today. But 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045. So the biggest news right now in the division, outside of Caleb Farley, if you missed it, Caleb Farley, Titans corner, activated off the non-football injury list. He is out here practicing, going through things today. We will tell you to what extent he worked after practice concludes, as is the custom for camp reporting. But elsewhere in the AFC South, and probably the bigger news league-wide, is what's happening with Carson Wentz. Now, Carson Wentz, according to ESPN, had a injury to his foot that he suffered at the end of a practice for the Colts on Thursday. The offensive coordinator, his name's Marcus Brady in Indianapolis, he said that Wentz felt a, quote, twinge in his foot, and that they were still awaiting more information from testing. The team hopes to have a better idea of how long the quarterback will be sidelined after foot specialist Robert Anderson reviews the scans, according to Adam Schefter. Well, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network had an update on this morning on Good Morning Football. Here's what Rapsheet had to say.
We may not have a definitive answer on what's going to happen with Carson Wentz for a couple days. Here's why. So on Friday and into Saturday, his colleague Mike Garofolo and I were talking about Carson Wentz had a foot injury, felt a little twinge at practice, had a battery of tests, sent scans to Dr. Robert Anderson, the nation's expert in feet up in Green Bay. And it was really a question of, is he going to get surgery, which would I believe remove the bone from his foot, resolve the issue, take him off the field for the first game, probably the first couple games, or would he be able to do it without surgery? As of right now, I am told the plan is rest and rehab. Stay off it for several days, see if it improves, see if they can get the foot in a good enough place to where he can practice. No surgery is the plan right now. If it doesn't improve, let's say within a week, then Wentz will probably go a little bit further, maybe see Dr. Anderson in person, and then decide, is he going to have surgery, which would rob him of the start of the 2021 season.
That is Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network this morning on Good Morning Football, giving the latest on Carson Wentz. So surgery is not the plan at present. But this is exactly why the Colts made the kind of deal for him that they did. Now, we'll go through his injury history here in just a second. But what should have been so telling for the rest of the NFL world when this deal was done, when Carson Wentz was acquired by Indy from the Philadelphia Eagles after things had, you know, gone straight to hell, no speed bumps in the city of brotherly love, right? Doug Peterson, who has a statue built outside the stadium, won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, jettisoned from the team, conflict with management and with ownership, finds himself out by basically choice. Carson Wentz gets traded away after things, you know, have been really just a precipitous downhill from the 2017 near MVP campaign that he almost made before losing that year to a torn ACL. But this was expected is not the right word, but this was planned for. This was Indianapolis in the terms of this deal, almost betting against the injury history or betting on the injury history of Carson Wentz with the way that they structured this. Because Jason Lockenfora of CBS, and I know people have strong feelings about Lockenfora here in Nashville, given that Bon Jovi never ended up buying the Titans. We still await that that purchase by the rock and roll legend. But Lockenfora put this together, the details of the compensation that was sent to Philly from Indianapolis in acquiring Carson Wentz. So remember, they were able to send a 2021 third round pick, which of course they have already used, and a conditional second rounder in 2022. This was the compensation for Carson Wentz. So already not like a blockbuster deal for a quarterback who was in MVP considerations a year ago and whose team ultimately went on to win the Super Bowl. Now that was a stacked Eagles team, but Carson Wentz was fantastic in that year as well before losing it to injury. Since then, everything has gone downhill, where last year you watched him and he's the worst starting quarterback in the sport. Like my worldview on this, and we've talked about this before, if you want to get in on the conversation, 615-737-1045, but I believe very much Indy to have downgraded at the position for as washed as Phillip Rivers looked like last year. So the devil, though, is in the details in what Indy actually agreed to send to Philadelphia, because the third round pick for 2021 that they've already used, of course, that was set in stone. But they made the second rounder conditional, as I mentioned earlier. That second rounder could turn into a first round pick if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the offensive snaps this coming season, or Carson Wentz plays 70% of the offensive snaps and the Colts make the playoffs. Those are the two conditions that would see the second rounder, the conditional second rounder, turn into a first round pick for the Colts. In doing that deal, though, Indy was very much looking at Carson Wentz's injury history and saying there's a good chance that this guy doesn't see 70% of the offensive snaps in 2021. We put this to a poll on Twitter. How many games do you think Carson Wentz ends up starting? Remember, 75% of a now 17-game NFL regular season. I believe Lucas did the math before we went on air, and that is just under 13 games, 12.75, if my math is correct. Did we do the math correctly on air?
Yes, and speaking of math, 96% right now, still a couple hours left, say 10 or less games that Carson Wentz will play in this season.
Well, I think that's wishful thinking on the part of the audience. I appreciate their optimism about what could be happening to their most hated division rival. It's the Colts, right? It's not the Jags, and it's not the Texans. Like, it's the Colts. Titans fans hate the Colts the most.
Yes, I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, their biggest rival right now is the Ravens.
Yes.
But I would say that the Colts, within the division, probably the most hated.
And I'm sure Titans fans feel that the Colts are due some bad quarterback karma.
I mean, they haven't had much of... And listen, they seem to like what they were seeing from Carson Wentz. I was listening to Dan Dockich in Indianapolis, who does the same time slot as us. And Dan often has a lot of the Colts insiders on his radio show just to kind of see, you know, what the conversation around Wentz in Indianapolis was on Friday, because, of course, he left this practice on Thursday with an injury. And basically, you know, it was, well, he's played pretty well. They've been particularly impressed with the deep passing game and how Carson Wentz has managed that. But something else to consider that's a big part of Carson Wentz's game is his mobility. Mobility is something that made this dude an MVP at quarterback. Mobility is something that is an additional threat. You don't need to be a mobile quarterback to be able to win in the NFL in 2021. Tom Brady wins in the NFL in 2021. Now, he's a different kind of mobile quarterback. Pocket mobility is something that he has always excelled at, always been spectacular at. But for Carson Wentz, if you are not that kind of spectacular as a stationary player, well, then odds are that you can look like your former backup quarterback in Nick Foles. We got the... We are entirely. How big a chance do you think that they're going to have a scoop back the tent during the commercial break, Will. I think that this is somebody. We almost had Anthony Firkser end up in Will Bowling's lap.
You get overran by Titans players?
I mean, they're practicing in the end zone directly in front of us, which, of course, I cannot tell you what is going on because that would violate the rules of the reporting. But, yes, it is entirely possible that a player joins us at the desk before Jayon Brown does simply because of forward momentum. So if I get taken out, didn't Kevin Ingram get decked at a NCAA March Madness tournament game a couple years ago by an LSU player?
Yes, they were waiting. I believe LSU and Maryland were playing before Belmont took the court. And, yes, Kevin Ingram and Greg Sage over at Belmont got rocked pretty hard. Kevin got all the spillage, though, with the cup.
Right. So, but, I mean, this would be, you know, is it weird that I'm kind of rooting for it? Because the comedy of this, if we were doing the radio show live and I just got absolutely freight trained, not only are we live on the air, but we are live on Zone TV as well. So if I was to get run over by one of these giant rage monsters that plays the sport of football live on the air, I think that would be tremendous.
Who are you most content. Afraid of that's playing in front of you right now?
Probably A.J. Brown. I mean, it's again, I can't tell you the details of what's going on. You know, I'm comforted by the fact that the NFL Network setup is right here, too, so it's not just me who's in the way. But I'm certain that we are going to catch the ire of somebody for how close we're coming to the players. It is not within the protocol at this point, based on where Ryan Tannehill's ball location is. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the show. 615-737-1045. But just to reset the conversation, because we've been talking about Carson Wentz and his longevity, you know, we've made the Marcus Mariota comparison before. And it's funny, I saw Vic Tafer of The Athletic tweeting out stuff from Raiders camp in Vegas. I assume they're in Vegas. I don't know where the Raiders camp is. But about how sharp Marcus Mariota looked a couple of days ago. And you saw Colts fans on the internet demanding a trade for a guy who they, you know, used to mock ceaselessly at the end of his career. What kind of karmic justice would it be to see the Colts quarterback solution in 2021 be Marcus Mariota at this stage in his life?
Like, I mean, is Marcus Mariota like just a poor man's Carson Wentz at this point, or is Carson Wentz the poor man's Marcus Mariota at this point?
I mean, I can't do the comparison in terms of skill set that way. There are mobility. They both are obviously mobile at the peak of their powers. These are guys that have displayed accuracy at various times, but you're talking about Carson Wentz, who is the least or the third least. If I want to be specific, the third least accurate quarterback from the pocket in 2020. So, and by the way, things that were similar in terms of, you know, how broken a player they were that Marcus Mariota displayed, the problems that he was having with play recognition, with the game starting to move too fast, him overthinking in the pocket and that causing things to be bogged down, where you're not just letting the football rip and overthinking the play and getting too concerned about what's going on with you, understandably, of course, because you've been just beat to holy hell throughout the early part of your career. But just to run through, because honestly, I would say if you're talking about physical debilitation, Carson Wentz is a physically bigger, thicker player than Marcus was, right? That was an allegation that Titans fans would lob against him. Marcus Mariota towards the end is that there was an element of fragility there that you were not going to be able to sustain with a player like that just because he continued to get beat up that way. Carson Wentz may be more physically able to hold up under something like that, but consider the list of injuries that he already has. In 2015, his rookie season, he has the broken wrist, which wrapped up his season. No, I'm sorry. That was his college because he was drafted in 2016. He had a rib hairline fracture in 2016. His senior year of college, he had the broken wrist at North Dakota State. Hairline fracture in 2016. The torn ACL and LCL in 2017. It was against the Los Angeles Rams. I can remember the play because he was diving. It wasn't diving, but he was pushing into the end zone, and you just saw him get hit from the side and his knee buckle in a way that, you know, it was I think it was like one of the Spider Cam games. It might have been Sunday Night Football because the camera was just directly over the play that had happened. It was a brutal thing to watch. But that effectively, that is when we started to see the slide because he had played good football, since 2017, but it had continuously depreciated over the course of the years that these things continued to pile up, because it didn't stop there, right? He had the stress fracture in his back in 2018. He had the concussion in the 2019 playoffs. Now, last year, he managed to get through his first year. He managed to get through without an injury. But, of course, he looked like trash. He looked terrible. So if we're to believe that that is what a healthy Carson Wentz looks like after all of that, and now you're talking about an additional foot injury for a mobile quarterback, it was something that Indy clearly wanted to make sure that they had a plan in place, even if it's not a great backup plan, because now the backup plan is Jacob Eason out of Washington, who was regarded as one of the better quarterback prospects a couple of years ago, but he ended up sliding a lot further than I remember the projections having him at, which is, of course, the case for a lot of guys. It happens to a great many players. Jacob Eason is nothing special in that regard, but I do remember him sliding. And then Indy kept, what, three? They had three quarterbacks on the roster because they had Rivers, Jacoby Brissett, Jacob Eason, and then wasn't Swag Kelly still, like, floating around there for a hot second from Ole Miss?
Yeah, like I think he had a couple cups of coffee in Indy.
Can you have a cup of coffee in the NFL? I thought that was just a baseball thing.
I thought that was a pretty universal term.
I'm going to dispute that. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. How many games do you think Carson Wentz is going to play this year? Like, if I held your feet to the fire, completely speculating, reckless speculation, hypotheticals only. We don't know the severity of the foot. We know that he's not pursuing surgery right now. If I put Lucas Panzeca on the spot, how many games are you saying that Wentz plays this season?
If he doesn't need surgery, I could see him out there and then re-aggravating something, and I'd say four, depending on how serious it is. Yeah, I'm not putting a lot of stock in how many games Carson Wentz can play this year. When you go through the rash of injuries that you just went through, a guy like Carson Wentz has dealt with a bigger variety of injuries than a guy like Marcus Mariota. And we've obviously considered Marcus Mariota a damaged quarterback in Nashville. The difference is Mariota at his best as a Pro Bowl quarterback, Wentz at his best as an MVP candidate.
Right, and the difference between Marcus and Wentz, obviously, is there was a sprinkle of nerve issues on top of the Mariota situation,
right,
that we don't know Wentz.
That's a little
to
more
have.
Complicated.
Yeah, when you can't feel, what was it? It was the thumb and the, I think it was, no, it was the pinky and the ring finger, because he had that half glove that sold a bunch of T-shirts but didn't seem to make that much of a difference. He had that pinky and ring finger half glove on it because he couldn't feel the ends of his fingers.
Not great.
After that disastrous Miami game, the Mike Vrabel's first game as the head coach of the Titans, I thought their season was over then and there. Lawan concussed, Delaney ankle snapped, Marcus Mariota banged his elbow, and now he's got nerve damage.
All over the course of like 8 hours.
Yeah, through the longest game in the history of the sport since the NFL-AFL merger. 615-737-1045. I mean, I think, again, we don't know. Now, there's been a lot, I will tell you, there's been a lot of speculation out here on the practice field. Now, I will not speak for the people who I was talking to about this earlier, but what I think the biggest designation will be is if it ends up, because the initial reporting was that it was not a Liz Frank injury, which if I remember correctly, that's a season ender. For a lot of players. I know Jimmy Smith, the cornerback from the Ravens, had one a couple of years ago. There was a more recent example of a Liz Frank injury happening to a player, I think a wide receiver, but I don't want to cycle through not specific cases that I can't cite. I know Jimmy Smith had one, and I believe that ended his season. But that kind of a fracture in his foot would be damning. I mean, for a dude who already struggles with footwork, for a dude who already struggles in the pocket, for a dude who seems to be trying to find ways to overcompensate for the lack of mobility that he's been able to have and not really doing so yet, he's probably doesn't want to get hit anymore. You got Russell Wilson complaining about how often he's getting hit, and Russ, you don't really see him take a clean hit. I've seen Carson Wentz get dragged before. I mean, wasn't that Jadeveon Clowney that concussed him that year in the playoffs?
Carson Wentz?
Yeah.
I wouldn't remember clearly enough to say if it was.
That 2019 playoff, because they did make, the Eagles made the playoffs that year, because the NFC East, which we continue the campaign to defund as a division in the NFL, the NFC East was, again, so just god-awful that bad Eagles team snuck in, I think, in the wild card round. No, they would have won their division, and Seattle would have been the wild card. I'm pretty sure it was Clowney that kind of bounced off his head, because it was a pretty problematic hit, if I recall correctly.
But doesn't this seem like maybe not desperation, but just a recipe for disaster? Given everything that you just said, how much he tries to rely on his legs, kind of his issues with footwork in the past, just the mentality of, well, we'll feel it out, and maybe he can go. If not, we'll get the surgery. It feels like a recipe for disaster when you lay it out.
But, buddy, who's been telling you this since they traded for him?
Yeah, I mean, the whole situation. But I'm just talking about specifically this approach to this injury. It feels like kind of a desperate move to not have Jacob Eason as your starting quarterback for 17 games.
What else however do long they have take. But desperation? Brissett's not there anymore. Rivers is retired. What are your options at quarterback other than, you know, a third, as Lucas calls it, a cup of coffee with Swag Kelly? bring him on home.
I'm sorry, that term applies. I'd say Randy Moss had a cup of coffee in Nashville.
I think that is a strictly baseball term. The baseball zealots will come after you if that is indeed the case.
Oh, I love when the baseball zealots come after me.
No, because then it gets into a math argument, and I'm not smart enough to keep up with that, so I try to avoid the baseball zealots as much as humanly possible. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved with the show. Live from Titans Training Camp, courtesy of our friends at Two Rivers Ford, by the way, out there in Mount Juliet, just 7 miles east of Nashville International Airport. They've been making our training camp coverage possible for us and, of course, for you. When we come back, though, it was a disastrous weekend in the city of Nashville. It was an absolute disaster at Nissan Stadium on Saturday night. We're going to talk about that coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Live at Titans training camp, St. Thomas Sports Park here on 104.5 The Zone. Kind enough to run a couple red zone drills in front of the desk. Made that a lot easier. It's nice over here in the fan with the shade. It's a good setup. Thanks to our friends at Two Rivers Ford. A much nicer setup than what was happening at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. A lot of people, whether you were going to the concert or not, your lives were affected by Garth Brooks in some way, shape, or form. The entire city of Nashville, any way in or out, seemed to be shut down for the better part of 2 hours trying to find their way to Nissan Stadium. I had no idea. I mean, I know Garth Brooks is a massive, like, country act, but I had no idea that it was going to be the scale that it was. Like, I guess you assume that if you're popular enough to fill a stadium, nearly 70,000 seats, it's probably going to be some logistical issues getting in and out. But we ended up Ubering to Broadway because, of course, we went. We tried to go, and all hell broke loose on Saturday night. We Ubered to Broadway first, and then we just walked across the pedestrian bridge. So I had no idea the chaos trying to get into the stadium itself. 615-737-1045. What's the worst experience you've had at a concert? We'll get into Titans training camp stuff here in just a second. Remember, Jayon Brown going to join us at 11:15. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to have a great time with him later on in the show. But this Garth Brooks situation, because you went out Saturday night, too. You had no issues because you did not involve yourself with the mess. You, of course, being Lucas, at Lucas Panzeca is where you can follow him. I went to Garth Brooks. I walked from Paradise Park to the pedestrian bridge to Nissan Stadium. We got in relatively easy. Was not a big issue. I was waiting for all kinds of complaints that I see on Sundays in the fall when people are trying to get into Titans games and they're just lobbing complaints at your face through social media about how hard it is to get in. Was waiting for that. No issue. So we have seats on the field. We're 20 rows back from this mega stage that Garth Brooks has. I've never seen a stage like that in my life where it's just in the middle of the field. It's like a complete circle so he can roam around all that he wants. And there's just 70,000 people crowded on top of him, 20 rows back. So we're sitting there waiting. And, oh, that's, I forgot that I'm on camera. Mike Giardi just flipped me the bird. I sent him one back, and everybody saw it. My bad.
Oh, no.
I just seem to literally flipping off the zone.
That was not for our wonderful Zone TV audience.
No context. Now we got to make Giardi come on. Oh, I played myself on that one. Well done. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. They're out broadcasting live here today, by the way. You can watch them all day long. I'm sure there's great training camp coverage being provided. I can't hear. You picked up the W? You're a child. I'll deal with you later. 615-737-1045. So we're 20 rows back from this circular stage that Garth Brooks has. Now, I was not aware. I figured that Garth Brooks was big enough. We paid enough money. We're going to just see him go for an hour and a half, whatever. Like, I'm not expecting the greatest live concert of my life, which was Bruce Springsteen at Wrigley Field, 3 hours in a slight drizzle. That was nothing more American than that. So we're 20 rows back, and I was not aware that they were putting on like a full Grand Ole Opry production around Garth Brooks. So you got some dude like emceeing the entire start of the concert in a full suit. Get the hell off the stage. Nobody cares what you have to say. Give me Garth Brooks. Give me Let the Thunder Roll for all the bad jokes that I've had to hear tonight. Get out of the way. And instead, they trot out Chris Young, who's fine. I have no qualms with Chris Young. I'm not a country music person. I'm just there for the show because my high school buddies are in town. They want to go. Okay, great. So they do Chris Young. Chris Young plays two songs. He tells us about a new album he's coming off. I'm just like, okay, enough. It's 8 o'clock already. This thing was supposed to start at 7:30, and now I got some dude telling me about how many times Chris Young has performed at the Grand Ole Opry. Respectfully, don't give a damn. Keep it moving. So then they bring out Emmylou Harris, who's a stud, and Trisha Yearwood, who is of course the wife of Garth Brooks, and an accomplished performer herself. They do one song, and then the guy from the Opry gets back in front of the microphone, and all of a sudden you see just this rolling black cloud start to come over the top of the open air Nissan Stadium. And I'm the only one looking at my phone during the concert. I'm the only one who's not blacked out drunk. I'm the only one paying attention to my surroundings. And I keep getting pings from Nashville severe weather. So already I'm shook up. And then I start to see like the graphs that they're tweeting out about the size of the storm that's just about to nuke us in the middle of Nissan Stadium. And right when the Opry guy starts to open his mouth again, they have to evacuate everybody to the concourse. Like sheep. Like this in the way that we were getting called sheep after I went after DeAndre Hopkins a couple weeks ago. No, this was the actual herding of sheep. Onto the concourse. Into this, you know, this concrete monstrosity, because that's going to protect us from the weather. And I don't know what you do with people in that kind of situation. It's the first time I've heard that warning about what to do in the event of lightning in Nissan Stadium many times. Mike Keith, voice of the Titans, does that every time before there's a Titans home game. I've never actually experienced what that looks like when they have to evacuate people out of the stadium. And this thing, right as they're sounding off the, you know, please make your way in an orderly fashion to the nearest concourse, there is lightning above Nissan Stadium. I see this bolt of lightning just come down from above and rattle the entire grounds around us, and then we all just get drowned like rats inside of Nissan Stadium.
Then it's a frenzy.
It's a frenzy.
It's like, I mean, the movie The Day After Tomorrow.
I'm telling you, this is The Walking Dead. This is, you know, this is the White Walkers from Game of Thrones. Everybody just mindless and clawing over each other.
Everyone panic!
Everyone, in the same way that Mike Keith tells you in a very orderly fashion, do not panic while making your way to the concourse. Everybody loses their damn minds, and then we get swamped in the middle of this thing. We're surrounded by 70,000 people in a concrete concourse while rain is just pelting you in the face. And I don't know what's happening with the rain situation, but the rain should not sting your eyes the way that it did. I fear that we were just drowned in acid rain. I probably have some kind of flesh-eating bacteria because, you know, that's nothing can go right in 2021. 615-737-1045. What's your worst concert experience? Because that, by a mile, was mine. There was the concert that never even happened. The concert that was not a concert. Take my money, Garth Brooks. My buddy waited 45 minutes in line for a T-shirt that he wore. He was stripped down in the middle of the concert, middle of the field, whilst waiting for the concert, swinging his shirt above his head for Garth Brooks to never play. Instead, we got drowned.
This happened to us not this past weekend, but the weekend before. We went over to Pelham to the Caverns to watch Blues Traveler, and a downpour commenced right before they hit the stage. They did hit the stage, though, and we got about an hour out of it. So it was actually pretty fun as we were getting drenched enjoying Blues Traveler. You kind of just embraced it at that point. So I think the worst experience I had was Bonnaroo 2017, just because of the music side of things when we saw Chance the Rapper, just because of how supremely disappointed I was.
Oh, did he stink?
Yeah, it's just, you know, he's every other this is 2017, so like anybody that went to college in those years, like Chance kind of was like the soundtrack to probably a lot of your college experience, so we were really excited for it. But
sure.
He's singing one verse and then holding the mic out to the crowd for the other one and then back and forth. It's like, but I want to hear you sing it.
Yeah.
So, and then,
I'm not here to sing your songs for you.
Right. And then Red Hot Chili Peppers takes the stage afterwards, and it's like the comparison's not even close.
Yeah. 615-737-1045. Danny Sutherland writes in the chat on Zone TV on YouTube, the day Nissan Stadium becomes a fishbowl. There's just, you know, God knows what kind of runoff we're getting hit in the face with from the upper decks, right? From like the 300 level, because it's just a water fountain pouring down on top of you, and it's probably a combination of urine, beer, and sweat. Like, that's what I'm pretty sure was raining down on me for an hour and a half. You got people passing out around you, medics just stiff-arming, Heismaning people out of the way. I'm pretty sure I saw a small child just go flying through the crowd because some woman passed. I don't know if she was drunk or she was claustrophobic or all of the above. But some woman just passed. I hope she's okay. I hope everything went well after she was
saved the kid.
Physically carried out. No, the kid got thrown out of the way while they're trying to get to the woman who's passed out on the concourse at Nissan Stadium. There was no regard for human life on Saturday night.
I was dry and content, enjoying some great music.
Yeah, why don't we get back to Titans training camp observations coming up next? Because I want to, but also Lucas has a story from Saturday night. We both have a story from Saturday night about the disappearance of a listener, we think. Now, he has since been found, which is fortunate. We will not name names because I don't know if they want their business out there like that. We're going to put their business out there like that. We're just not going to say that it's them. And then we'll tell you what steps I need to see this team take from week one to week two of Titans training camp. Live from St. Thomas Sports Park, I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.